We're now listening to Eli Weber, Tuesday morning, the first year of the morning, Sefer HaMitzvot.
Okay, we're up to mitzvah number 10, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. On the one hand, this should be the easiest of all mitzvahs, we know it well, we do it twice a day, but it's not.
Why? Right. Three times a day.
Huh?
Kriyat Shema mitzvah also.
Okay, fine. If I asked you, what is the mitzvah? What are we going to see in the Rambam? What is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? What would you say? Okay, so you're smart. You know all these sources.
Yeah,
you say it's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, which means accepting the kingship of God. So in other words, what you're saying is there's some text you're supposed to say, but it's not really the text that's the mitzvah. Right, the text is just the means. Mm-hmm. The mitzvah itself is accepting God's kingship, and really, in theory, you ought to be able to do it without a text. Right, if that's the mitzvah, if the mitzvah is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, then there ought to be ways for me to accept God's kingship without reading a text. And sadly, but this is true for all of us, there are definitely days in which we have read Kriyat Shema and not been Mekabel O Malchut Shamayim. We just read Kriyat Shema. So I'll ask the question another way. According to you, Mr. Weiser, the person who reads Kriyat Shema and is wholly unaware of Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim, mitzvah or no mitzvah? No, so it's not. So I'll tell you why not. Before we get off the topic, I'll just explain. Mr. Weiser is saying correctly that there's a machloket about mitzvahs generally. Machlokes is whether, in order to be yotzei a mitzvah, you need to have intent to be yotzei that mitzvah. Example. You walk into your sukkah on sukkahs to eat lunch, but at your seat is a lulav and esrog and hadas and aravos. So you have to move them, because they're in your seat. The mitzvah is just picking up the dalad minim. Did you get the mitzvah of picking up the dalad? Did you get the mitzvah of dalad minim? If you pick them up, but did not intend to be yotzei the mitzvah. That is a machloket that is dependent on whether we hold mitzvos trichos kavana or mitzvos einon trichos kavana. One second.
How about the movement?
Huh?
Muktzah.
It's not. No, you move it because you want to eat lunch.
Oh, okay.
It's not muktzah on sukkos.
Oh, you're right.
It might be muktzah on Pesach.
It's Shabbos.
Right, it might be muktzah on Shabbos. So, Mr. Wise is completely right. But there are some mitzvot that are clearly substantive, meaning if the mitzvah is Kabbalah, if you're right that the mitzvah is Kabbalah Sol Malchut Shamayim, it doesn't matter how you hold mitzvah Trichos Kavana, mitzvah Sein Trichos Kavana, you didn't get the mitzvah unless you knew what you were doing. Because the mitzvah is to accept the kingship of heaven. Do it a different way. Sfirat HaOmer. Okay? What if you don't understand anything that you're saying? You think that when you say Hayom Shnayim Ve'esrim Yom Sheheim Shlosha Shavot V'yom Echad La'Omer, don't worry, that's not today. That wasn't Yotzei by accident. When you say that, you think it really means 12. Or you have no idea. You think it has something to do with bad dreams. Were you Yotzei the mitzvah or not? The answer is nobody thinks you're Yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Because the mitzvah is to count. And you did not count. Right? You can't count if you don't know what number you said. You can't count if you don't know what you're saying. So the point I'm trying to make is if the mitzvah is Kabbalah Sol Malchut Shamayim, accepting the kingship of heaven, there is no scenario under which you can accept the kingship of heaven unless you accept the kingship of heaven. You could disagree, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Bruce.
Are there levels of, schut or levels of compliance of a mitzvah? One is the technical detail, and you might be yotze that, even if you don't know what you just did. But maybe there's another level of being...
So it depends. I think if you hold like Mr. Weiser, that the mitzvah is Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim, I see no way for you to be yotze unless you accept the kingship of God.
Because you said the Shema,
but
you said the line that you have
no,
to say.
No, but so do it fairly. So then you have to disagree. I know you don't want to, because we respect Mr. Weiser.
No, I'm not
you have to disagree.
I'm not
of course not. I'm giving you a hard time, because we need to sort this out.
This is Josh's father. I'm not having to disagree.
To say doorway, you have to say, no, Mr. Wise is wrong. The mitzvah is saying Kriyat Shema. Yes, there's an additional level of Kabbalat O Malchus Shemaim, but the mitzvah is saying Kriyat Shema. There's something magical about the psukim in Kriyat Shema.
You have to say that because you've got to Chabad people to give you tefillin to put on.
You have to say, that's never a good
really
proof.
People don't really know what they're doing, and yet they...
That's never a good proof. Really? Because people do or don't do it.
They're encouraging you to do something where you don't really know what you're doing.
So they tell
you you've just done a mitzvah.
So fine. So then say that, then you have to say that the mitzvah is reading Kriyat Shema. And there's some added benefit you could get, some greater kavana, right? You pick up a lulav, you yosei the mitzvah. But if you have great kavanos and you're thinking east and west and north and south and the different ruchos, so it's a more meaningful mitzvah.
Right?
You eat matzah. You know there's a mitzvah to eat matzah and Pesach, you have no idea why. You yosei the mitzvah. You eat matzah and you imagine yourself being in Pesach, in Mitzrayim, and you imagine yourself being, there's no question, it's a higher level, it's more meaningful.
The issue is if you had a negative kavana, what might that do?
Yeah, so that for sure, I think that for sure would stop you. Okay, so that's one fundamental question, which is simply, what is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Is it reading something, or is it accepting the kingship of God? That's one question. Second question is, if it's accepting the kingship of God, in what way is that different than the mitzvah we saw of belief in God, the mitzvah we saw of belief in the uniqueness of God, loving, we have to find a way where this mitzvah is unique within the Tariag mitzvahs, because the Rambam counts it as unique. That's the second question. Third question is, exactly what is the text of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? How much do you have to say to be Yosei the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema? One pasuk, you're saying. Okay, all pasuk, I'll just tell you now, anything you could think of is a shita in Rishonim. One pasuk is a shita in Rishonim. One pasuk plus v'ahavta, the first paragraph, that's a shita. First pasuk, v'ahavta and v'hayim shema, that's a shita. And finally, all three parshios. Okay, they're all machloksim, exactly how much do you have to say in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Last question. How often do you have to do this?
Twice a day.
One mitzvah or two? Is each mitzvah independent? Meaning, are you peeking, Mr. Weiser? No. Is there a mitzvah? You ask me not allowed to look. I ask you.
There are brachot with each one. Are those brachot linked to the Shema?
Here, let's put it this way. We will get to, I think, in 2 weeks, tefillin. In the Rambam. I think tefillin is numbers 12 and 13 in the Rambam. Tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh. Okay? So what about Kriyat Shema? There's a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema twice a day. Is that one mitzvah or two? What do we think?
According to the Rambam, one.
Okay.
That's the answer.
We know that.
Is going to be
Huh?
And this 11 is also going to be Kriyat Shema.
But no, so the answer is not. The coins of the realm, it's one. The question is why. Ask a different way. Normally the rule is, okay, on Sukkos, you have to take Dalet Minim. Is the Esrog and Lulav two separate mitzvot? Of course not. One mitzvah. How do we know?
One bracha.
No. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is if they're independent or contingent. Meaning, can you be yotzei the mitzvah of lulav without an esrog? The answer is no. Oh. Therefore, they can't be independent mitzvot. That's the rule of thumb. Mitzvot that are independent of each other, meaning, as we'll see, you can put on your shel rosh without your shel yad. And you can put, I wouldn't want to, but you can put on your shel yad without your shel rosh. Therefore, they are two independent mitzvahs. Okay? But forget the brachos.
Because it's two different.
No, but it doesn't work because the Rambam only has one bracha and he still thinks they're two different mitzvahs. The idea that you could identify the number of mitzvahs by the brachos is wrong. So the problem is, does anybody think, if God forbid you forgot to say Kriyat Shema last night, Right, let's say it starts night and day. You forgot to say Kriya Shema last night. Does anybody think you don't say Kriya Shema in the morning because you forgot at night? The answer is no. There's no such shita. Which means they ought to be two mitzvahs. Right? They're completely independent. But the Rambam counts them as one. Okay? We'll try to answer as many of these questions as we can. Those are the four basic questions. Now, let's look at the Pesukim. I know we know them. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Somebody translate, because this matters. Come on.
Listen attentively. The Lord is our God, the Lord is unique.
The Lord, okay, Echad is unique, is good, one, you know, indivisible. It seems to be a statement about, you know, the uniqueness of God. And then, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, we're supposed to love God with all our hearts. Okay. V'hayu hadvarim ha'eila asher nochim mitzavecha hayom al vavecha. You have to keep these things on your heart. V'shinantam levanecha v'dibartabam. V'dibartabam are the words that are usually learned out as the source for this mitzvah. V'dibartabam, you're supposed to read Kriyat Shema. Okay. Then, b'shivtecha b'veitecha uvelechtcha v'aderech. I'm sorry, that's not when, that's where. Where do you have to do the mitzvah? Wherever you are. Home or away. And uvishach becha uvikumecha. Interesting. How do you translate those?
When you lie down.
Stand up.
No, the time.
But they're not parallel. Even the way you said it is correct, but they're not parallel, and we pay the price. The reason why we can't sleep late is because Zman Kriya Shema is uvikumecha when you get up. But the reason why you could lehalacha say Kriya Shema all night is because b'shach becha is when you're prone. Right, it's just interesting to point out we don't see those two things as parallel. It's not true that Kriya Shema is all day and all night. Kriya Shema is in the morning, and Kriya Shema is all night. Okay, it's just interesting that that's how we understand the pasuk, that uvishach becha doesn't mean when you lie down, it means when you are lying down, and bikumecha doesn't mean when you're standing up, it means when you get up. Okay, clear? Here we go. Rambam. Mitzvah Yud, source number 2. V'hamitzvah ha'asirit hi shetzivanu likro kriyat shema b'chol yom arvit v'shacharit. You want a sheet? In case. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah is to read shema every day, arvit v'shacharit. Night and morning. Why night and morning? Why night first? Because in halacha the night is the beginning of the day. V'hu amaro yitale, what's the source? V'dibartabam b'shivtecha b'veitecha b'lech chodechu v'shal v'cha v'kumacha. Okay, and he says, u'kvar hitba'aru mishpitei mitzvah zo b'mesechet brachot v'sham hitba'er shekriyat shema d'oraita. Okay, he says, the Gemara explains that reading shema is d'oraita. Now it gets really interesting. Fourth line. V'lashon ha'tosefta, he quotes a tosefta that says as follows. Kishem shenitna Torah keva likriyat shema, just like the Torah established permanent times for the recitation of kriyat shema. What are those permanent times? Night and morning. Right? The Torah says that's when you have to do the mitzvah. Kach natnu chachamim zman litfila. So too, chachamim established times for davening. Kilomar, shezmanei hatfila eina min haTorah. Okay, we know full well the time for shachris, the time for mincha, the time for ma'ariv. That's not min haTorah. Amnam, chovat hatfila atzma hi min haTorah. But the obligation to daven, that is in the Torah. We saw this all in the fifth mitzvah. The Rambam shita is that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven once a day. Everything else is drabanan. Shachris, Minchan, Marva, Drabanan. What you say is Drabanan. The fact that you have to daven once a day, that's Del Raisa. And the Chachamim came along and they established times. V'zeo inyan amaram tfilot kineget midim tiknum. And that's why we say that davenings are established kineged the karbonot. Klomar, sidru zmaneha bizmaneha hakrava, they establish the times for davening opposite the times that you have to bring karbonos. Then he just says what we know, mitzvah zo ein hanashim chayavot ba. And the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, women are not technically chayavosin. Why? It's a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. Why? Because you can't do it 24 hours a day. Once at night, once in the morning. So therefore, women technically...
Meaning if they said at any other time, it wouldn't be outside the mitzvah? And you also, if you missed the time, it's as if you said nothing.
Yes, the Gemara says you got the kiyum of Talmud Torah by reading Kriyat Shema. You didn't get the mitzvah of Shema Bizmana.
Well, just a covenant question. If you're leaning in the morning on Shabbat in Shul, and you lean from the Torah that portion with the Shema,
right?
And so you actually said it, but you said it in leaning.
So it's a question whether you had kavanah. You can be yotzei mitzvahs in leaning. What mitzvah are we yotzei in leaning? Once a year, before Purim.
Yeah, Malik.
Yeah, Zohar. The fact that you're doing Kriyas HaTorah doesn't mean you can't get another mitzvah. But if what we said is true, you would have to have in mind, right, why do they announce before they read Parsha Zohar that people should have in mind? Because otherwise, just Kriyas HaTorah, you miss the point.
Yeah.
You know, you can be also surprised. You can be yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras of Mechias HaMalek when they read Kiseitze, not the week before Purim, if you have it in mind. You could read it from a sitter every morning. Okay? Now, no one noticed this, but we should. There were two parts to this Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. The first explained the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Then all of a sudden he quoted the Tosefta, and he started describing to us the mitzvah of Tefillah. And anybody who reads this, right, the first three lines, this is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The first three lines are all about Kriyat Shema. Then the fourth line, all of a sudden, he quotes a Tosefta that says that the times for that tefillah is Doraisa, and the times are Drabanan. But what's that doing in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Everybody with me?
May I just ask, was there a time where Kriyat Shema would have been divorced from tefillah?
Absolutely.
That people got up, they said Shema, and then afterwards did Tefillah or something.
Absolutely. It's a coincidence that the same text appears in both. You could certainly be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and certainly be Yotzei the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, not in Davin. Okay, and of course, we know, let's say it's Shabbos and Zman Kriyat Shema is 8:50 and you're davening at the 8:30 minion, so you say Shema first. It doesn't have to be tied to tefillah at all. I'll just make this point because I think it's a good one, and Rav Soloveitchik made it first. And that is, he suspects the reason why the Rambam spends all his time referring to the mitzvah of tefillah, when he's supposed to be telling us all about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, is to defend his position that Kriyat Shema is only one mitzvah. That the night and the day are all part of one mitzvah. And he thinks the Rambam quoted the din about tefillah to say it's the same exact thing in tefillah. There's one mitzvah, and we do it three times a day. Chazal came along and said the one mitzvah you do by davening Shachas, Mincha, and Maariv. So he thinks the Rambam is saying there's one mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Happens to be you do some of it at night and some of it during the day. It happens to be they're completely independent. But just like with respect to tefillah, the davenings are more or less independent. So too, with respect to Kriyat Shema, you could say one at night, you could say one in the morning, but they're independent of each other. Okay, so much for that. Now, let's try to get a sense for what the mitzvah really is. And for this, we turn to the Sefer HaChinuch in the third source, who, Kedarko Bakodesh, uses the Rambam but expands on it and gives us greater insight. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shenitztavinu likros b'chol yom arvis v'shachris, Pasuk echad min haTorah shebeseder zeh. So the first thing is the Sefer HaChinuch paskins like Mr. Weiser, one pasuk, right? One pasuk. Just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Again, it's
my opinion.
I know. I like to show respect for you. Obviously, the Sefer HaChinuch is older than you. I mean, he stopped aging 800 years ago. But
everything was his guess of the young people.
Okay. Okay, you must have been young for a long time. Okay. So, he says, V'zeh Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'ala pasuk hazeh ne'emar, v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veitecha v'lechtecha odechu v'shal b'cha v'kumecha. Interesting. So, this is the drasha. When it says v'dibarta bam, that there's a mitzvah to say something at night and in the morning in your home and when you're traveling, that something is the first pasuk. It's not the easiest read. You know, again, if you look back, the pasuk of V'dibarta bam, if you look on the first source, is pasuk zayin. That's the last one. The hard part about this shita is V'dibarta bam means pasuk dalet. It doesn't mean pasuk hey. It doesn't mean pasuk vav. Everybody see that? It would have been easier if V'dibarta bam was this whole paragraph. But nevertheless, the chinuch thinks it's not. It's only the first pasuk. Third line of number three. Uba perush al zeh. What does it mean? Bisha'a shebnei adam shochvim. Ubisha'a shebnei adam kamim. As we said, when do you say kriyat shema? When people are sleeping or lying down, that's all night long. And when people get up, that's the morning. V'kamash melehu l'rabbanan. So then the Rabbanan came along and said, okay, when do people get up? Shebisha'a shebnei adam shochvim. Tikra kol halayla ad she'al amud ha'shachar. Therefore, we assume people sleep all night long, so you could say Kriyat Shema till Amud HaShachar, till it starts getting light. Ukinyan shekatuv u'shchavtem ve'ein macharid v'chein lo yishkav ad yochal teref d'mashma kol sha'at shchiva. He says, all references to shchiva in the Torah don't mean going to sleep. They mean sleeping. Okay? By the way, the halacha is you should try your best to say Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. That's a gzeira d'rabbanan. Usually it's not an issue for us, but if you had the choice, you should daven Maariv and say Kriyat Shema before Chatzos.
We say the Shema when we wake up in the morning before, and then again at night on Amitah. Are those actually better times? Does that count for having said Shema? Is the Shema we say in the before the
yes.
Morning or not? Is that then so that, the real Shema and everything else is sort of?
Look, if you think that the mitzvah is to say the pasuk of Kriyat Shema, then it is, which actually is problematic. Saying at night on your bed is not a problem because you already daven Maariv. See, we would like, technically speaking, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema is either the one pasuk or the first paragraph or however many things you have to say. But we like to do them with the brachos. We like to be yotzei the mitzvah l'chatchila the way Chazal set it up, which is in davening, saying brachos. Saying the two brachos before the bracha of Ava Rabba, right before the bracha of Yotzer, or before that, and then the two brachos afterwards. That's the optimal way to do it. Which is why there are some people who don't like to say, you know, don't like to daven at the 8:30 minyan if you're not going to get there in the regular davening for Kriya. Because they don't want to just say the one pasuk or the one paragraph. They want to do it in the brachos. But you can certainly just from that. One pasuk, but it might be something you don't want to do. Actually, like I try not to. I say it with and have in mind not to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema because I want to do it with the brachos. But let's see what he says. Mishar Shem mitzvah. What is this mitzvah? Here we go. Bottom paragraph on the page. Sherotza Hashem lezakot amo sheyikablu alihem malchuto v'yichudo. B'chol yom v'layla kol hayamim shehem chayim. I can't. I messed up. Says the chinuch, and it's very, very clear. Says the chinuch, God wanted the Jewish people to accept malchuto v'yichudo b'chol yom v'layla. To accept his kingship and his uniqueness every single day and every single night. That's what Mr. Wise said at the beginning. It's not reading the parsha. That's not the mitzvah. That's the means to the end. The end is Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim. The means to get there is saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Second line. Why? Why is this so important to do this morning and night? So he says, Ki bihiyot ha'adam ba'al chomer. Because man is physical, nifta achar havlei ha'olam. He is seduced after the pleasures of this world. V'nimshach l'ta'avotav. And he pursues his own desires. Tzarich al kol panim zikaron t'midi b'malchut shamayim l'shamro min hachet. He needs a reminder morning and night that there is some power above him. And that morning and night reminder will keep him on the straight and narrow. or will try to keep him on the straight and narrow, it will remind him that there is a God and protect him from sin. Al Kain, therefore, Hayam mechasto lezakotenu, it was a great goodness that God did to us. Vitzivanu lezachro shnei ha'itim ha'ele bekeva ubekavana gemura. See that line? Ubekavana gemura. He says, therefore, the Torah commanded us to remember God or to recall God morning and night. Bekavana gemura, with absolute intent. Achat bayom lahoil lechol ma'aseinu shebayom. Once, to try to cover us for the whole day. Ki bihiyot ha'adam zocher ba'boker achdut Hashem u'malchuto. Because when a person really focuses in the morning on the fact that God is unique and singular and rules over the world, v'chiyashgachato v'yichalto alakol, and that his control is unlimited, v'yitein el libo ki einav pikuchot al kol drachav, and he'll think about the fact that that God is focused on everything. God sees all. V'chol tzadav yispar lo yitalei mimenu davar mikol dvarav. When a person in the morning, imagine this for a second, you sit down to say Kriyat Shema in the morning, and you don't just say it. You think to yourself that there is a God, and this God is omnipotent, and this God is omniscient, and he knows every single thing that I do, and he controls my life. Says the Chinuch, it will affect you. It won't be that you just say Shema and then you're done with it. It will have an impact all day long. At least that's the hope. V'lo yuchal mimenu lahachbi achat mikol machshavotav. When a person thinks about God and realizes God knows all of his thoughts, halo yihielo limishmar machshavto zot v'hoda'at piv bidavar hazeh kol hayomahu. The person will be aware of it all day long. Imagine if you spent the day with the person who you think is like the greatest Jew in the world, I don't know, the greatest rabbi, the person you most respect. It's pretty unlikely that you're going to sin if you're standing next to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, if you're standing next to whoever you think of as being, you know, morally perfect. And so he says, when you think about God in the morning and you think to yourself, God knows and sees all that I do, it is supposed to affect you. Okay? Now, something nice about this is you start to get a hint for why the Rambam thought it was one mitzvah. Right? It's one mitzvah because you're supposed to bookend your day. You get up and you go to sleep. The first thing, the last thing that you do is recall that God rules the world and that God is unique and that God is superior to you and that God sees all and knows all. It becomes not that there happens to be one mitzvah in the morning. It's not a coincidence. There are two separate times to do this mitzvah. Once in the morning and once at night.
I can see the one in the morning getting up. I'm not sure of the relevance. You're about to go to sleep. So what's actually the point of the second one? You know, you want to start today and have God in mind all
right.
day long.
So you could say it differently. You could say it that once is in the morning, once not when you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But once is at night. Mm-hmm. Right? And it kind of covers... Right. I use bookend because I kind of like that idea. Right. But mm-hmm. I'm fine your way. You do it at 6 o'clock at night, you go to sleep at 11. Mm-hmm. But it's what the mitzvah is to remind yourself of the role of God in your life. And the Torah said, do it once in the morning, once at night. It also works nicely that it's not once a day, once during the day, and once during the night. B'shachcha v'kumecha, I don't know what came first. But in theory, b'kumecha could have been whenever you're up. And that would be all day long. But we say no, bikumecha means when you get up in the morning. And that works better because we want you to do this in the morning. We don't want to do this at lunchtime. Of course, like anything else, let's be honest. I'm already thinking to myself, yeah, but what if we did it three times? You know, what if it was once in the morning, once at lunch, and wouldn't that work better? Yeah, and wouldn't four times a day work better? I can't answer the question of why only twice. But the fact that they serve as one mitzvah does make sense to me. Okay.
If someone asks, they're not a religious Jew, they don't really believe in this stuff, but should they say this type of a statement, isn't it hypocritical? We would still say, well, it's a mitzvah to say.
You're always worried about hypocritical? No. If you're raising money for the shul, and a guy says, listen, I don't really believe in the shul, but I'd like to put my name on a plaque, so I'll give you $10,000. You'll take the money. and the guy will have gotten a mitzvah. And by the way, we think secretly that it's more likely the guy will be a better person having done it. Right? The Chinuch says many, many times, you know, acharei ma'asim nimshachim alevavot. If you say something enough times, I'll give you a good story. Rav Amital was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Haratzion of Gush before he passed away. He and Rav Lichtenstein together. The Yeshiva still has a minhag of saying slichos for Bahab. Bahab is like a little known Monday, Thursday, Monday after Sukkot and after Pesach. And so a guy went to Rav Amital and he said, nobody knows what they mean, nobody's into it, you know, why do we have to keep saying it? So he said, I don't know if it's a true story, but he said that one time, supposedly, this advertising executive for Coca-Cola had this great idea. He went to the yeshiva and he said, instead of saying Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba in Kaddish, you know, I'll give you, I don't know, $100,000 if you yell out, you know, Yesh Coca-Cola, Yesh Chaim, whatever the slogan was, right? So the Rosh Yeshiva said to the Coke guy, but it's meaningless, right? It doesn't make any difference. Like, why would you care? And he says, the guy said, you say something enough times, you start to believe it. Rav Amital said, you just say Baha. You say it, it'll affect you somehow. So I think the answer is, yeah, we want more. You know, we want to know what we're saying in davening. We want to have deep kavanas for Kriyat Shema. But just because we don't doesn't mean we should stop. Because it does, you know, it does affect you. A person who davens three times a day poorly is still more religious than a person who davens once a week with great kavana, I think. You know, we do think, to be religious means to do things out of obligation sometimes, even when they don't speak to us, even when they're not meaningful. Okay. Let's go. Fourth full line from the bottom. End of the line. Umipnei sheyisod hamitzvah masha zacharnu. And because the foundation or the real mitzvah is what we said, which is Kabbalat ol malchut shamayim, chivunu zichronam livracha ba bekavanat halev. You must have kavana in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why? Nothing to do, as we discussed at the beginning, nothing to do with the machloket of mitzvah strichos kavana, mitzvah einon strichos kavana. If the mitzvah is to accept the kingship of God, either accept the kingship of God or you didn't. Right? Reading the pasuk is just the means to the end. The mitzvah is accepting the kingship of God. So obviously, you have to have some idea of what you're saying. Now, if you know what the words mean, you probably got it. When you think about it, the words are a declaration, a public declaration that you're accepting the kingship of God. Shema Yisrael, I want everybody here to listen to me and hear. Hashem Elokeinu, right? God is our God. Hashem Echad, God is unique. That's it. That's what the pasuk means. Okay? So va'amaro, third line from the end, she'im lo kivein libo ba lo yatza yidei chavato, she'ein adam nizkar b'shum davar, elo im kein yasim kavanato bo. He said, because nobody is reminded of anything, nobody is affected by anything, unless you have some idea of what you're doing or saying. V'zeo shamu zichron livracha b'brachos, shema yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, ad kan tzricha kavanat halev. And by the way, that's a good thing to remind yourself. Even if you're going to say all three parshiot, which we all do, if you have limited attention span, focus on the first pasuk. That's where you have to have kavana. That's where you're accepting the kingship of God, and the other stuff is the other stuff. What's the it's completely different halachically, but it's similar hashkafically. Shmona Esrei, what's the din?
The first paragraph.
You're supposed to have kavana. It's one of the most interesting halachos. One second. You're supposed to have kavana for the first bracha, for Magen Avos and Shmona Esrei, and if you didn't have kavana for that bracha, the din is you have to repeat. But then the din became, you're just going to mess up the second time also.
So
what's the difference? It's unbelievable. That's the halacha. That's technically speaking,
Dharma.
Huh?
Dharma.
Right. But technically speaking, you're supposed to. Right. Right. It would be funny if it wasn't so true.
What?
It would be funny if it wasn't so true. But it's true. We all know. Okay. Now, just to get an idea of what I mentioned at the beginning, look at number four. Flip over. The Minchas Chinuch says, it's just a way to get this idea. He says v'yesh harbe shitot b'zeh. Many, many shitos in this. V'yesh sovrim deparsha rishona hu min haTorah. Some say it's the first paragraph. V'yesh sovrim deshnei haparshiyot hu min haTorah. Some say the first two. V'yahavta and v'haya im shamoah. V'yesh sovrim depasuk rishon hu min haTorah. Some say only the first pasuk. V'yesh sovrim, shockingly, dekriya shma midrabanan. That the whole mitzvah is just Rabbanan. V'dat harbe after sovrim kriya shma d'rabanan haynu d'parshiot elu hem midrabanan. This is actually very interesting. Aval min haTorah tzarich likrot eze parsha baboker uba'erev v'yotzin. They hold the mitzvah of kriya shma could be fulfilled by saying any pasuk in the morning and at night. But rak dechazal tiknu parshiot elu, etc., etc. I am very shown him. So here you have a completely different take on the. You have a completely different take on the mitzvah. We had talked about the mitzvahs being kavanas, you know, kabbalas o malchus shamayim. But here you start seeing this idea that no, maybe the mitzvah is to say some pasuk in the morning and some pasuk at night, and it really doesn't matter which one you do. Yes, Chazal came along and said it should be this pasuk, but maybe when it says v'dibarta bam, that you have a mitzvah to speak in them. It doesn't much matter. V'dibarta bam is anything in the Torah. And if you got up in the morning and you said Breishit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, no, somehow maybe you get, according to that shita, you get the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, because the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is not Kabbalas o Malchus Shemaim, it's just saying some psukim morning and night. What's the benefit of that? The benefit of that is, when you think about it, this mitzvah of accepting God's kingship looks suspiciously like, if you look at number 5, the second mitzvah we did. We did it a few months ago. V'amitzvah hashniya hi hatzivui shetzivanu be'emunat hayichud. The mitzvah to believe in God's uniqueness. V'hu shena'amin, we were commanded to believe, ki po'el hamitziyut v'sibato harishona, the first cause of all, echad, is one. V'hu amaro yitaleh, shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem echad. The Rambam already used up the mitzvah of Shema by saying it's the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. It's the mitzvah of belief in the uniqueness of God. So it's easy to get out of it. You could say that one is the mitzvah to believe and the other is the mitzvah to declare. That they're two different things. And this is an act of declaration, not just an act of belief. Nobody thinks, well, it's hard to know. The question is, what if you get up in the morning and you think to yourself with great kavana, God is unique, God controls the world, God knows all of my doings and all of my goings, and He understands everything about me, and I live in fear of Him, etc., etc. You thought it, but you didn't say anything. Or you yotze the mitzvah of Kabbalas o Malchus Shamayim. So I would say, you certainly yotze the mitzvah that we just saw, the second mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. But if the mitzvah of Kabbalas o Malchus Shamayim requires a public declaration, you aren't yotze that mitzvah. Right, it's a very good thing that you did, but you weren't yotze that mitzvah. Okay.
So you're saying it's a public declaration implies that somebody's got to hear you say it.
So it's like, interesting. What does the pasuk say? Shema Yisrael. It's a funny thing. It does sound like you're supposed to say it in public. There is no source to that. There is no halacha that says that Shema should be said with a minyan, and right? That's the kind of thing you're looking for.
Yeah,
that we should only be able to say Shema in a minyan, and we should say it out loud. It's interesting that doesn't exist. But the theoretical point is a good one. What I would say is, there is a difference between believing something and saying something. And this we know in our own lives, and at least I know it in mine. There's a difference between feeling bad that you did something and apologizing to the person who you did it to. We all know that. But even more than that, there is a difference between saying to yourself, I'm going to go to Minyan 3 times a day this week, right? Which I think many of us do, when we tell ourselves. There's a difference between that and saying it out loud, even if no one else is in the room. Try it. If you read psychological books, they all say this. The more you concretize something, the more real it is. Thinking to yourself, you know, I promise to go to Minyan 3 times today, that's one thing. Saying it out loud so that the four walls of the room that you're in hear it is the next step up. I think it's so intuitive, we don't really need psychologists to tell us that. But it's
yourself, so it's me, myself, and I are listening.
Okay, so you're saying those are the people. that could be. But I'm telling you, even if you know that you and yourself aren't there, it's just me, it still works. It really does. Do it a different way, just here it's even better. Imagine the difference between thinking you're going to go to Minyan three times today and actually writing down when you get up in the morning, "Dear God, I hereby promise to go to Minyan." It's much more likely you're going to go to Minyan three times if you wrote it on a piece of paper. What's the difference? God knows what you thought. There's just something to it. And at some point, I think that's the core of Kriyat Shema. We have all these mitzvahs that involve belief in God and loving God and fearing God. And at some point, the Torah said, okay, now I have one mitzvah of declaring it. I want you to declare it every morning and every night. Because the act gives great meaning and concretizes, you know, all of our intentions and all of our thoughts. And I really think in many ways, the reason why Kriyat Shema is so important to us, it's so important because it's a mitzvah, is because it bridges, you know, when we think of mitzvahs, I think all of us think of, okay, there's Netilas Yadayim and Lulav and Shofar and Tzitzis and Shabbos and Tefillin, you know. And then you do as what we're doing, and I'm really enjoying as we do it. You go through the Sefer Mitzvah Rambam, and it's not like that at all. We barely got, and this is like almost the first mitzvah. You have, you know, belief in God and belief in the uniqueness of God and loving God and fearing God. Okay, then we had Tefillah, it's true. The whole beginning doesn't read the way we think of halacha. And I think in many ways, Kriyat Shema is kind of the bridge between our religion is both believing and doing. We make this mistake all the time. We think that Christianity is all about belief and Judaism is all about doing. No, we're also all about, well, we're not all about belief, because we don't think that belief in and of itself is enough. Right? It can't just be that you accept, you know, him as your savior and then all your sins are forgiven. You have to daven, you have to take a loot, you have to do all these things. But to do all those things independent of belief is a problem. And in many ways, Kriyat Shema is the microcosm, if that's the right word, for the convergence of belief and doing. The mitzvah is belief, but you have to do it. You have to say it out loud. You have to make a declaration. And without the declaration, you may have gotten many, many other mitzvahs. You may love God and fear God and believe in Him and accept His uniqueness and His divinity. You didn't get this mitzvah. This mitzvah requires you to stop twice a day and to say it out loud. No, to other people or to yourself, but to say it out loud.
Seven deals with the idea of kavanah, because you can do all these things and not know what you're doing. And some of the
right, but I want to make clear. It is, you know, we're not going to get there. Yes, there's a discussion about kavanah, but everybody agrees that Kriyat Shema without kavanah is not a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Because if the mitzvah is kavalat o malchut, again, mitzvahs that are acts are subject to a machlokas about whether you need kavanah to do it. You're holding a tea, and you put it. Okay, you made a tea for yourself, and you put it down on the table, and your mother says, "Oh, thank you so much for giving me a tea," and she drinks a tea. Okay, so did you get the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? Well, you didn't really intend to. Right? So that's a conversation. I don't know. But again, if the mitzvah is to accept the kingship of God, you either accept the kingship of God or you don't. If you say Shema and you have no idea what you're saying, you didn't accept the kingship of God. You did a lovely thing, you read a pasuk according to some shitas, you'd be yotze, but if the mitzvah is to accept the kingship of God, you didn't do it. And again, I think this is so significant, this point. We're so stuck between this dichotomy of doing and believing. And I think this mitzvah is the convergence. You have to both do and believe at the same time. And if you don't, you didn't get the mitzvah.
Is there room within this context of mitzvah,
mm-hmm,
for a personal prayer or a personal conversation with God, which
yeah, there's always room for that.
I mean, or It seems very imper. I mean, it's a context here that's written, but there are persons.
We're going to be late. That's a different balance. That's the balance between whether you know how much you could do of your own. I would say that there's no way to get around saying Kriyat Shema, but yeah, it'd be quite a lovely thing if after that you made other declarations and other things. You know what I mean? Like. We've talked about it before. There could be a better way for you to recall the Exodus than eating maror. Legitimately, there really could be a better way. But we live in a religion that tries to balance, you know, what's good for us and what God wants us to do. And so again, I think Kriyat Shema is that example where we must do it this way, we must believe, but yeah, I completely agree with you. You have plenty of room outside of the narrow confines of the mitzvah to find personal expression in Judaism. But first you have to do the mitzvah.
Thank you very much.
One thing. Shema, the letters of Shema backwards is Ol Malchut Shamayim. Ayin Mim Shin. Which we've been saying it for the past 50, 60, 70 years. I just heard this about 2 years ago until I never realized it.
Well, Shema, I don't think
that was Abraham Baim adding a short thought. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you.